Hello and welcome to this special episode of The Big Fight. Special because we're going to take a look at a debate that is just about starting, but which may well have very interesting dimensions as we go forward. There's been some talk about the possibility of proxy voting for NRIs, which means that NRIs can depute somebody in their constituency to go and cast a vote for them. And that's immediately sparked off a major discussion, a major debate. Now, Parliament's going to come in. The matter's going to come up before the court. We'll have to see whether this particular law comes up. But the ramifications are many. First of all, if NRIs are casting proxy votes, why can't we allow migrant voters within the country to also cast proxy votes? That is a question that's likely to come up. Number two, a question that's likely to come up, if NRIs can't start to vote in elections out here, why and what's wrong with then extending this a little further? What's wrong with extending this to overseas citizens of India and eventually moving towards dual citizenship? After all, the only thing that's really left out there is the fact that, you know, people with OCI cards can't actually vote in Indian elections. And then other aspects are coming up as well. Some people are talking about the use of Aadhaar now and linking Aadhaar with voting ID. And is there a big plan behind all of this? There are some who will say, well, the government is doing this because lots of the NRIs and overseas, you know, Indians are actually supporters of the present government, and they want to bring Aadhaar in because some of the voters, some of the people who are on the voting list who should not be there will be thrown out. So lots to really talk about and lots to discuss. We have a great panel who's going to take us through all aspects of this. Let me start off by welcoming Tehsin Poonawalla, who's also been filing many petitions in various courts about all sorts of electoral reforms and any other things, not just Masuka. Great to have you with us. Hardeep Puri is a former permanent representative of India to the United Nations. Colonel Ajay Shukla, defense analyst, has major views on how a lot of this should actually be done and rolled out. It's great to have Ashok Tandon with us, who was, of course, media advisor to Atal Bihari Vajpayee, senior journalist. It's an absolute pleasure to have Mohan Guruswamy with us, chairman for a Center for Policy Alternatives. And then, of course, a particular privilege to have the person who should really know more about this than all of us put together, Dr. S. Y. Qureshi, former Chief Election Commissioner of India, and the person who really will be the... I'm going to start by with you, sir, to tell us whether you think any of this can and cannot work out. We're also being joined from the UK by Mr. Rami Ranger, who's chairman of Sunmark Limited, and from New York City by Anand Ahuja, attorney at law. We've seen him very actively involved with the Trump campaign in recent times. So we'll get your sense of what's perhaps happening overseas as well. Dr. Qureshi, I have to start off with you. The entire concept of proxy voting for NRIs, is this something that you think should be considered?
Let's start with the larger principle of NRI voting, the right of NRIs to be able to vote, which was the central debate, and that there are various ways they can vote, and proxy voting is one of the four forms which were decided, which were recommended by the committee formed by the Election Commission.
Proxy voting is one of them?
Yes.
The others would be, if you could say for the
second is e-postal ballot, right, which is halfway between postal ballot as we knew it. We will send you the ballot by email, which you download, which will save time. But then after downloading, you have to physically send back the paper individually and physically by post. So that is the e-postal ballot. Third used to be the voting in the embassies, right, which, of course, they ruled out for a very good reason, because you can't start this kind of activity because the registration of voters and voting is not one of the consular activities. Imagine the 500 people gathered outside Riyadh embassy. There will be helicopters flying all over.
No, so, it's not just Riyadh embassy. If we look at it in the United States, for example, it could be 2 million people voting to vote.
Quite right. And here the normal size of a polling station is 1,000 voters. There in Washington, you'll have a polling station for how many? 2 million, 3 million voters?
But not That's all impossible. Of them are NRI. Some of them are foreign
citizens. The host country may not allow it.
Yeah, the host country may not allow it.
Then the other is the internet voting. Internet voting, we are ruling out for totally non-technical reasons. Technical reasons too. Even our very simple, basic technology, EVM, is questioned every other day. But internet is hacked all the time. Even Pentagon is hacked all the time. So that is not safe at all.
One is to have NRIs voting. They are citizens of India. And then you can have the broader concept. What's wrong with dual citizenship, as some would say? And Prime Minister Modi in particular has been spending a lot of time going out, connecting with the diaspora, and quite frankly, they are a key, you know, support base of the BJP in any case. So I would understand why the BJP would, I guess, be particularly interested in saying, let's try and find out ways that not only the NRIs can vote, maybe the others as well. What's wrong with it?
Nothing wrong with it. In fact, there is some good argument to encourage the overseas non-resident Indians, which means people who are citizens of India, but who are temporarily not resident, to get them to feel that they are stakeholders in the Indian system, and those who are registered with the EROs, the electoral registration officers, but who just happen to be physically not here at that point of time. Now, that discussion will require some lining, some clear understanding of how long you've been outside. If you are permanently settled, let's say, in Western Europe or the United States, but you continue to hold an Indian passport, then an argument, a case could be made out that you're not really
but
a stakeholder.
Even if you're temporarily outside and for some reason you're not being able to vote, that argument theoretically could apply to migrant workers within the country. You're not, let's say you're temporarily not in, you're a voter in Mumbai and you're temporarily in Delhi, you can't vote.
If you are a stakeholder in the political system, in the electoral system, you get rights. And voting is clearly a right. But you know, you also have to shoulder some responsibility. You have to have some accountability. Now, you have to define the modalities for that very carefully. I mean, if you're talking about a proxy vote, I really don't know what it means. It means that you give your vote to someone who casts it on your behalf. I mean, that's entering an absurdity because somebody else in India may demand the same right. Equally, you cannot give to a person not resident in India rights which a person normally resident in India doesn't have.
There are issues
have.
Around proxy voting in any case. As Dr. Qureshi very correctly said, the methodology can be debated. Proxy voting is on other issues. You don't have secrecy. Your proxy may not vote for whom you've told the proxy to vote for. All sorts of other factors can come inside.
But I'm in favor of NRIs being given their vote, provided it's done with great care and within prescribed conditions.
Okay, let me get where everyone stands on that particular issue. Tehsin Poonawalla.
Why should a person, say, in America have extra privileges over a laborer, say, in Delhi, who's come from, say, Chennai or Bangalore, and he or she, if he has to go back, has to lose his day's wages or has to lose his salary or has to make the effort, but somebody sitting in America or in Brazil or wherever has the right to vote sitting out there. I agree, if they need to vote, if they want to be stakeholders in a democracy, rather than just going to arenas where the Prime Minister gives his speeches, please come to India and cast your vote. Nobody is preventing them. That is their right. Also, please understand, and I checked this with Dr. Qureshi, the right to vote is not a fundamental right. The right to equality is a fundamental right. So please, you cannot sacrifice the right to equality, a fundamental right, over just a basic right.
Okay. Vikram, let me first set the record straight. Already, NRIs have a right to vote. Yeah. At the 2010 Pravasi Bharatiya Divas, Prime Minister Manmohan Singh promised that from next year, NRIs will get a right to vote. And he got the Representation of People Act 1950 amended in 2011. And the law was passed by the Parliament when UPA was in power. And now, as the law stands today, NRIs are entitled to vote. Yes, in fact, precisely. In the subsequent election in Kerala and Tamil Nadu, 8,500 Keralites, they registered themselves as NRI voters. Only half of them turned up to vote. The only question now is whether the modalities should be changed. Because the previous position, as it stands today in the law, NRIs are entitled to vote.
But how can they vote? So just let everybody understand
this. No, the only thing they have to do is they have to register themselves as an NRI voter. But to cast their vote, they will have to come to India. That is the only thing.
That's the issue, right?
So therefore, coming, NRIs
so long as they are coming to India, there's no debate then. If they are willing to fly to India, they're allowed to come and vote, which is fine.
There's nothing wrong with it. The question whether NRI should be allowed to vote
Let's start moving on from that. So yes, they're allowed to vote. Okay, Mohan Goswami, let me get on that.
You have to be ordinarily resident in a constituency. Yes. You might be an NRI, but you should have been there for 6 months. Within the previous six months, you should have been there. Because this is a representative democracy. People are choosing their representatives for a constituency.
Correct.
And so, you know, you have to be resident there to vote. So your point is,
even if the NRI is flying into India to vote on that particular occasion,
he cannot be on
the NRI has been in Canada, he may be having an Indian passport, he's been in Canada for the last, 10 years, never come to the constituency.
Precisely.
You're saying it's wrong for that person to be allowed to vote.
And he shouldn't be, but if you give the NRI that right, then you give me the right to sit in Delhi and vote in my hometown.
But don't you have that right?
No. I have to be on the voters list there.
I have to be there
for the previous 6 months.
So how is that done?
You know, the basic question is, why is your name on the voter list where you are not living? That is the point. If you have moved to Delhi, you have to be normally resident at some place for 6 months. If you have moved to Delhi for 6 months or more, you are obliged to get your name struck off from there and get it registered here. That is the point.
So to that extent, exception has to be made for the NRIs.
That is the issue.
Ajay Shukla.
Look, everybody who's a voter in this country would agree that only those people should be allowed to vote who have skin in the game, who have a direct effect of the outcome of that election, you don't want your representative to be elected, whether directly or indirectly, by somebody who's living, let's say, in the United States of America or in Europe.
But they are playing a role even now. They're sending money. They're influencing things on social media. A lot of the discourse is being driven by NRIs. It's not that they're not involved. And Prime Minister Modi's made it very clear that they are a key part of the India story, not just NRIs. He's, in fact, extended that to the entire diaspora.
Vikram, it is one thing to send money. It is one thing to elect to sort of propagate views on behalf of a candidate, and it's quite another to do that holy act of casting your vote, casting your ballot on behalf of a person. That has to be done by somebody who is directly affected. Just to give you an example of how the United Kingdom views it, even non-citizens of the United Kingdom who are studying, let's say Commonwealth citizens who are studying in the United Kingdom for a period of 1 year or 2 years. If there's a general election, they are foreign citizens, but they are allowed to vote because the outcome of that vote will affect them.
Yes,
here you've got people who are living abroad, but who want to affect the outcome of elections.
All right.
You see, somebody comes before an election to check whether the person is resident there. Now, it is inconceivable, in my way of thinking, that if you've been resident abroad for, let's say, an extended period of time, that your name will continue on the register. It will not. Okay. So if the scope of the decision required is to make an exception, then I think it has very far-reaching consequences.
Let me just come to our special guests overseas. Mr. Ahuja, let me ask you for starters. Ajay was saying that NRIs who don't have a skin in the game in India shouldn't be allowed to cast their vote here in India. What would be your take on that?
Basically, the right to vote for NRIs, it was a long overdue. The only my concern I have is about the proxy voting. It would have been much better for Government of India if they would have allowed either e-voting or paper ballot voting, what in United States we call it as absentee ballots. So you can cast your vote through post office. So I do not see any reason India, being such technologically advanced country, cannot adopt some measure where voters are eligible to cast their vote directly, not through proxy. I mean, proxy means we are trying to create more political corruption in India. People who are in this particular game of dirty politics, they will either use their muscle power and force people to give proxy in their favor, or they will buy the votes. So to avoid all those complications, it would have been much better for Government of India to allow direct voting instead of proxy voting.
But he's right. People can use muscle power. Yes. There's no guarantee that the proxies will vote for the people whom you are saying they will
vote
for. And
the important point Mr. Ahuja made was it can be bought and sold.
Yeah.
So, it's very, very...
There are lots of NRIs. So those proxy NRI votes suddenly becomes currency which people can
And
trade.
There will be then agencies and contractors who will start dealing in this.
Okay. Rami Ranjan, let me get your sense from the United Kingdom. What do you think should happen with the NRI voting?
let me give you the benefit of NRI voting. First of all, somebody said they can be bought. You cannot buy a vote from an NRI. They're all very successful, and these people are very articulate. They are
Mr. Ranger, if I can just interrupt you, they're not saying that the NRI vote will be bought. If it's being done by proxy, the danger is that there are people who will, a trade will start in proxy voting, and those proxy voters could potentially be people who could be bought. I think that's the point.
All NRIs are not, not all successful.
And not all NRIs, as somebody else is pointing out, are successful, so their vote could also be traded. It's not that 100% of NRIs are well off. Some are, which is great. All right, Mr. Ranger, sorry, carry on.
I'm totally against proxy votes. People should have the right of ballot by post. India, if India is to become a global power, it has to stay connected with the very, very increasingly influential diaspora. You know, people living overseas have more love for India than people living in India. They're not cheating India.
I think it's fair to say because you're living overseas, you love India more than somebody who's living in India does. Many people who are living in India had the choice to live overseas. They've chosen to stay here to make a difference, to work on the grounds, to work at grassroots, to work in NGOs. So I'm not sure whether that's a fair sweeping generalization. No, people overseas love India more than people in India.
You've just heard an excellent example of why NRIs should not be given the vote.
Okay. Mr. Ranger, finish what you were saying. Sorry, sir.
We sacrificed. We put up with bigotry in this country. We worked hard. We did many
jobs. People in India have also sacrificed. I studied in England. I was at Oxford University. I could have stayed on in England and had a great job. I chose to come back to India because this is my country. I love it. I wanted to be back home. Doesn't mean that you love India more than somebody who's chosen to be here.
Not many people who came to overseas had the privileged background like that of yours. So we had no
privileged background. I got a scholarship, sir. I worked hard for it. Anyway, sorry. I'm now digressing a little bit. I'm just asking, sir. No, I'm asking a very simple question. I get the thrust of what you are saying, that yes, there should be an NRI connect. I'm only merely disputing an assertion that you made, saying that NRI means you love India more than somebody who's in India. How can you justify that statement?
Well, I'm not saying that, but they always have more passion because they're away from mother, they miss their country, they're always looking for news. We watch you, NDTV, we watch all these Indian channels. You can see the
That's a good argument.
Now you're starting to come to a better argument, sir, that you're watching the Big Fight regularly, so therefore that proves your touch.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a bad... I'm not... Okay, look, that's a certain viewpoint. You can love your mother even if you're far away from your mother. The others were saying, I'm choosing to stay at home with my mother, looking after her day to day, so therefore I love her more. Vikram, I guess they're both are points of view.
I've been in a profession which for 40 years has required me to spend long years abroad. Even I would find it difficult to buy into Remy's proposition that people who are NRIs love India more. I think that's not a road we should go down. I think there are some serious issues involved in here. And that most important is that this is about democracy, stakeholders, and to ensure that something that we made a success of, Indian electoral system, that's not abused and it's not subject to fraying.
Yeah. Nobody's taking away his love or his rights for his mata. Just come to India, meet his mata and cast his vote. He has all the rights to do that. This laziness of being there, but I love my mata more than you, this has come down to everything. This is another example.
Okay. Actually, let me get everyone else to take, then I'll come back to Mr. Ranger.
See, after the Manmohan Singh amendment, which allowed NRIs to register as voter and cast in India, failed, in 2014, a PIL was filed in Supreme Court. That why not proxy voting? Supreme Court referred it to the Election Commission, and the Election Commission set up a committee which has given four options, which Professor Dr. Qureshi has already pointed out.
Yeah.
Now the report is back with the Supreme Court, and Supreme Court asked the government to examine it and take a call. Now the government has decided on 3rd of August through a cabinet decision that they will be opting for the proxy voting, rejecting the other three options. Now this whole amendment has to go to the parliament.
Theoretically, the logic of connecting, I mean, you could take this to the other, to the full extreme. You can say that, look, if you're really wanting to connect with the diaspora, and again, coming back to some of the political benefits that might arise for the BJP and others, there could be an argument to say that why not extend it to full dual citizenship.
You see, the basic requirement of citizenship, the right to vote, is that you have to contribute to this country directly. Even the poorest villager or remotest tribesman buys a matchstick, matchbox, he's paying excise duty.
Everybody, you can argue on, you could argue that the NRI and the diaspora are sending $50 billion
They're sending money to their families. They don't send money to the state. No, no, no. There's a difference. There's a difference. People are paying their dues to their government. And NRI is sending it to his brother or his mother or his father. It doesn't come to the country.
It's coming into India.
It comes to India. So what?
Yeah, and you can and
doesn't make
and
any
that,
difference.
That aspect of it is now being answered. Narendra Modi has gone repeatedly and said, "You all are playing a very important job as ambassadors of India, and therefore I'm going to embrace you."
The principle of no taxation without representation has to apply. Okay.
No representation without taxation.
Absolutely.
Also.
That's a very good question. I agree with that. You know, I want to raise a very interesting side point. In fact, a basic issue. That maybe the demand for NRA voting is highly exaggerated. And in fact, this all started when I was the CEC. When the Prime Minister announced, we were all shocked. Without consulting us, he makes an announcement without discussing the logistics. And then we called the Foreign Secretary Nirupa Rao there. She was in panic. We thought we were not sure how many lakhs will respond. But and she said, look, take away our passport and visa, that passcode, and you deal directly. And we said, no, if you can't handle, how can we? Our system will crash. Only after all that, 8,000 people registered. And after 3 years, only 3 Punjabis registered. So maybe, you know, the NRIs who are coming here, about 3,000 every year out of 10 million. I mean, they are the guys who are making noise. And therefore, to say that all NRIs are very interested because of patriotism, they want
to vote. To be fair, even in some of the major cities, people are not more than 50-60% of people turn out to vote. So how many will vote is a moot point. Let me just come back to Rami Ranjan and to Anand Ahuja. Mr. Ranjan, the question of how many NRIs would actually want to vote is another moot point that is being raised by Dr. Qureshi. Not too many people have registered in the past, barely 8,000. And also, do you think the logic of what you were saying should be extended to people who are not Indian citizens, who have given up their Indian passport and taken the citizenship of another country?
The gentleman said, if I love my mother, I should come back. He doesn't even know the contribution I made in Britain in flying the flag for Britain. He should put my name in Google and see. And the other thing is, you don't have to live with your mother to love to contribute to success of your mother. If all the children stay with their mother and don't go out to borders, don't go out to away places, you will not be able to serve your mother as the NRI serve. We stay in hostile places, but we still back. Our heart is still in India. The other thing is, it is the duty of Mother India to make it possible for her children to remain connected, because there are tremendous benefit to Mother India. You are encouraging us to come and invest in India, and people like these guys with Western interest are making it so difficult so that they can, you know, when you want to exploit people, you keep them backward. You want to keep NRI second class, third class, so these guys lackluster. Half of the people in India don't pay income tax. That means your theory of income tax and vote is out of sync, because how many people in India pay income
taxes?
They end up paying some income tax because income tax is above a certain limit, and unfortunately most people in India are below that limit. So that's why they're not paying income tax, but they're paying GST. Everyone pays GST right now. Every time you buy something, you're paying taxation to some extent. So,
I'm glad he compares his AC room to a Jawan on the border and says he's got the equal sacrifice. The debate out here is not about the Jawan, how you make it easier for the Jawan to vote or the soldier to vote. But this man in an AC room is comparing his struggles with the Jawan on the border and saying, oh, like the Jawan, I'm sacrificing. I think this is getting from silly to ridiculous right now. The fact is, postal voting for Jawans, everybody talks about. For them, we will go out of the way to make it more safe. But this man can come here. Certainly, if he's as successful as he says he is, please fly down to India, vote and go back.
These guys have a very narrow view. In democracy, everybody is safe. And we have to make sure that everybody gets a share to influence what goes on in their motherland.
People, come down and vote here for your motherland. Nobody is denying you your right. All I'm saying is, from your AC room, get out, get in a first class, business class, come here and vote. Who's denying you your right? Please come and meet your mother.
I have created thousands of jobs for the Indians in UK.
Mr. Ranjan, the logic of what you are saying, should it extend to people who are not NRIs but who have taken citizenship in other countries?
Whoever has got the OCI card, because OCI card gives Government of India leave. They are answerable to Government of India. Whoever takes a OCI card, that shows that he has connection with Mother India and he wants to remain connected. And we should make it very possible that the people who live in first world country can also influence, you know, they are...
Okay.
partial. It will make democracy more stronger because you have input from people who have lived 30, 40 years.
Your take, Mr. Ahuja.
Somebody mentioned who loves your mother country more, people living in India or people living outside. I think we are going into a totally different kind of debate. There is no such competition. Who loves your parents more, the child who lives with the parents or the child who has gone out of the home in search for a livelihood? So that's totally irrelevant debate, that who loves your mother country more, whether people living in India or people living outside. Secondly, there are 16 million Indian citizens living outside India, out of which only 10,000 to 12,000, they travel to India and vote in Indian election. So there is a huge voters living outside India who can participate in the electoral process of India. So we should not undermine that the number of Indians living outside India who are eligible to vote. My concern here is basically through proxy voting, to what extent we are going to maintain secrecy of our voting. We have recently witnessed in Gujarat, Rajya Sabha elections, two MLAs, they happened to show their ballots to BJP observer and their votes were considered invalid. So how we are going to maintain secrecy of voters when we are going to adopt this proxy voting system? People, those who have OCI card, basically they have reflected that they still have connection with India, they still care for India. So anybody who has OCI card, I personally believe, should be allowed to cast his or her vote in the Indian electoral process. Why a person should be denied that kind of opportunity?
But in that case, there's no real difference between OCI card and dual citizenship, then India may as well go for full-fledged dual citizenship. I mean, the only difference really is that you can't vote with an OCI card, right?
But Vikram, there are so many countries, they allow dual citizenship. For example, Israel allows dual citizenship. So I don't see any reason. First of all, it's not a dual citizenship. We are asking just for a right to vote in the Indian electoral process so that we still are connected with India.
So let me just come to all of you. On the question of, I mean, once you start giving people with OCI cards, people with other citizenship, but you know, who originated in India, when you give them the right to vote, it essentially means you're at dual citizenship, isn't
yes,
it? What's the difference?
OCI card carried two limitations. One is you can't buy property in a border area, and the second is you can't participate in the electoral process. Now, this is a decision which has very far-reaching consequences. If you go beyond Indian passport holders to OCI, somebody has to sit and work out what the implications are. I mean, I would be reluctant to join an argument like this when we don't know what the implications are. And if you look at the numbers...
Even though many of those OCI voters may actually end up being BJP voters.
Well, it doesn't matter. I think when you're looking at something like this, the BJP itself would want to be very clear on what it is doing. The BJP's position is anchored on nationalism and security, and surely you don't want to open yourself up to possibilities for which you never bargained.
So dual citizenship, an idea perhaps... it's not that it's being considered right now. Right now, it's not even being spoken about, but now that the debate has started, Tehsin, is that something which you will certainly file a PIL on if dual citizenship is allowed?
I have no problem if dual citizenship is allowed, provided dual citizenship means they are allowed to, they have to pay the taxes in India as well and allow them to pay dual taxes. Then you come to, he's right, how do you define what is your income? Your income in India or your income in US? I'm just giving US as an example. How do you define that? What is your rate of taxation? So you have to go into a lot of issues into this. It's not as simple as they make it out to
be. Okay, dual citizenship.
Let's just be clear about the dimensions of what we are proposing. There are 13 million NRIs and there are another 18 million persons of Indian origin. We are looking at introducing 31 million new voters into the Indian electoral system. Are we doing this with due care and thought? No, this is going to completely...
That's what I'm sort of working my way up to. Dr. Qureshi said not all of them will come to vote, but potentially it does start to become a very significant... becomes a very significant number of people suddenly voting in Indian elections.
It could influence
many swing constituencies.
You were mentioning, Vikram, that the BJP currently might be thinking that it would benefit from this, but when you actually work it across this entire vast number... There's no guarantee that this will work for the BJP or for the Congress or for any party. You know, there are people who go abroad on duty. people like Hardeep Puri, people like the Indian Army going on peacekeeping missions and so on, they should definitely be given the facility to vote. Postal ballots should be created for them. They should be allowed. Yeah. But how can you equate people like that? How can you equate a soldier going on a peacekeeping mission or a diplomat going on an assignment with just somebody who's lived there all his life and who now feels that he wants to vote in India?
When Vajpayee government was in power, the question was discussed. Our security agencies and the Home Office particularly refused to accept it on the ground of security, because at that time the argument given was, suppose somebody who was born in a British India and his place of birth was, say, Meerut, and now he is a Pakistani citizen and living in Britain. So if he also applies for a dual citizenship, showing his birthplace was Meerut in 46 or 45, so how could we distinguish it? So on the security aspect, the dual citizenship was refused. So I don't think we should be equating dual citizenship with the voting right for NRIs.
Okay. Would you agree with that?
Well, I think OCI itself is close enough to dual citizenship. It's pretty good.
Except that you can't vote.
Yeah, except you can't vote, and they should not be allowed to vote. Otherwise, what will happen is Punjab Chief Minister will be chosen in Canada.
An interesting point, and that has its own ramifications, by
Absolutely.
The way, the security and other ramifications. Can I just come back to that 30 million new people being added to the electorate? Now, it's interesting that all of this discussion on proxy voting is happening at a time when there's also discussions happening about the possibility of linking Aadhaar with the voting ID. Maybe we should have a separate big fight on that at some point. But if that comes to bear, that's where, again, the political ramifications just have to be seen. Because, again, the BJP has often argued that there are people who are voting in Indian elections who should not be allowed to vote. And if you link voting with Aadhaar, those people are kept off the list.
Absolutely. I think this government is absolutely misusing Aadhaar. I think, in my limited opinion,
Aadhar
it may not be...
Aadhaar is a UPI idea, let's start off with.
Yes, but Aadhaar was not meant to infringe upon your privacy. And I know that they now have Nandan endorsing them. It was not meant to infringe upon your privacy. And just as they have duplicate PAN cards, the whole Aadhaar argument, I'll just in 1 second end it. The government says that they need Aadhaar because there are many PAN cards that duplicate PAN cards. Yet a PAN card is taken as a base to get an Aadhaar card. So those duplicate PAN cards are used to get you Aadhaar cards. So I don't know what the argument is. And I think...
But should you link it with voting ID? Is another question. I mean, again, get all of our experts to weigh in on that. Linking Aadhaar with voting?
Look, this issue has to be resolved. And I don't think that we've seen the finality on this. It's being argued. But I just want to come back to you on the numbers. Adding 30 million when 750 million are already voting as per some figure in the last election, I think it's not the number. You have to be clear on what you're opening yourself up to. Yes. And I think the point which
but
has
But I
been
think it's a significant enough number that it's a big decision to take one way or the other if all of them come to vote.
If
Dr. Qureshi is correctly saying that maybe 30 million, maybe only 100
But if 30 million are divided between 542 constituencies, that's not a serious line of inquiry. I want to pursue.
But there are some constituencies, yeah. The NRI vote may end up swinging.
And
the Punjab
I wouldn't
election.
Give the Canadians a right to choose the Punjab chief minister because I know what kind of persuasion they will opt for. So I think we should keep that choice in India and not
that's
because
Dr.
That's...
Yeah. That's exactly the point Dr. Exactly. Qureshi was making. You want to be careful of some constituencies. What will happen?
I think that there's one simple reason why Aadhaar card should not be linked with voting, and that is that Aadhaar card does not have any rigor in your... place of residence. There is no cross-checking that goes into it. Voting, on the other hand, is intimately linked with where you live, where you vote, and where you will choose your
good point.
From.
Good point.
Vikram, Aadhaar is allowed to NRIs because if they are Indian passport holders working abroad with their permanent residence in India, they are allowed to have Aadhaar card.
Yeah, but I guess the point why they are saying that you should that Aadhaar should be linked is one, to have another level of check, and also to make sure, I mean, let's to not put a fine point on it, to make sure, for example, that Bangladeshi migrants can't be voting in West Bengal or Assam or things like that.
And the Aadhaar card is linked to your place of residence, so it's also automatically therefore linked to where you should vote.
He's saying less and rigor is in exercise.
No, why is it? You go through a biometric check, you go there, you present your documents, you don't get an Aadhaar card.
So you're saying Aadhaar
you ask for one.
Aadhaar card, you don't have any comprehensive checks of your residence.
For the voter's registration, do you have any comprehensive
checks?
What checks do you have?
They come to
he comes to your house, enumerates and goes. Same thing happened in the Aadhaar.
In the Aadhaar card, it has been conclusively proved by numerous people who have worked on this field that they don't have any check. In my case, when I got an Aadhaar card, nobody came home and asked checks.
When I got my Aadhaar card, I went to the local Aadhaar station, had my eyes scanned, fingers, everything, and then got the Aadhaar card.
They
you
do.
See,
but
and a proof
but
of
the
residence
check,
took
he says, is less than the Aadhaar than anything else.
The electoral thing is ridiculous. They come to your house, they ask the neighbors who's living here, take it off and go here.
Okay.
You know, actually, when Nandan Nilekani came up and set up Aadhaar authority, he came to Election Commission. By then, we already have 550 million biodata of everybody. And he wanted to kind of negotiate tie-up with us. But that was the time when we had started collecting biometrics. But since they were going to do it as it is, we decided we'll postpone our collection of biometrics instead of repeating and making it a costly affair. We'll bank on them. So we were waiting for them to complete the exercise. 2 years ago, Election Commission then ordered that please link it with the Aadhaar. That is the time when Supreme Court illegalized Aadhaar. So Election Commission also withdrew its order.
It didn't exactly make Aadhaar illegal. It says you don't have to have it as compulsory.
Whatever, in the sense, exactly, whatever was the language that they used, Election Commission withdrew the order. Now Election Commission has gone back to the Supreme Court again, asking for its directions and advice, because we are waiting for the biometric data to become available to us for no other reason except that.
No, so you are saying the Election Commission wants Aadhaar to be linked to voting ID, not for any sinister design, but because you want biometrics.
So that we can eliminate duplicate voters. That is our interest there.
I mean, what's wrong with that? You're the one who's the most opposed to it.
I'm absolutely opposed to it. First of all, there is absolutely no record how Aadhaar was collected. I'll give you my personal example. Most of my family members paid somebody money. They came to the office and got an Aadhaar card made. This is how this is made. So first of all, there is absolutely no record. As there is duplicity in PAN card, there is duplicity in Aadhaar, which will soon come up and the government will come. Aadhaar was not meant for this. It was meant to be just a supplementary ID. It was not
and
meant
voluntary,
for what it is.
And voluntary.
And voluntary. And that is not what this is.
But Dr. Qureshi says if there is a vast reservoir of biometric information that is there, it is good to link the two so that the Election Commission has access to additional data. What's wrong with that?
In India?
So long as you don't make it, I mean,
where are
you could argue.
Where are your privacy laws in India? Your privacy laws do not exist in India. Your data protection does not exist in India. And Aadhaar will be used as a device for the government to keep track on you. Believe me, nothing exists. And your data today.
Dr. Qureshi, yeah, that's the thing, that you know, privacy will leak. They'll know
absolutely
who voted for whom and all of those concerns.
No. That secrecy of voting will be preserved anyway. But identification of voters and the elimination of duplicate voters is what will happen.
How, sir? If I take my Aadhaar card and I come to vote,
yes,
you know where I live, you have my Aadhaar card, you have my biometrics.
But you don't know how Aadhaar is not linked to when you're pressing the button.
I'll explain to you, because the EVM, which he also supports, and I have great respect for you, Dr. Qureshi, goes booth-wise, tells you who's got how many votes from where. So, for example,
so you can know
so
which way a booth voted.
Absolutely, booth-wise, which is also, according to me, a violation of my right to secrecy in voting. The booth-wise EVMs tell me who's got what vote. All politicians know this. Yes. So
I mean,
with my Aadhaar card, you're going to know exactly who's voted for whom. And imagine the BJP will say, in this locality, there were 10 Muslims. I've got 80 votes, 10 have not voted for us. Or some ridiculous argument.
There are three forms of identification, Vikram. One is the PAN card, the other is the election card, and the other is Aadhaar.
Okay.
Now, for purposes of identification, that's one thing. But to link the Aadhaar card with that, compulsorily, out of the question. What you have done, you can link the Aadhaar card with the PAN card for tax purposes. That's
the Election Commission wants it to be linked also.
Yeah, exactly. So,
so
that's all fine.
Well, yeah.
But
what would be the downside? What would be the downside of a linkage?
No, there's no issue of privacy involved in this.
You know who I voted for. Right away, you know who I voted for.
You don't know whom you voted for. You get...
No, but he...
not.
Tehsin raised another issue, which is a serious issue in itself, but not a core part of this. What he means is the secrecy of the polling booth should also be guarded. Because what is happening is if a booth has voted against a party, they're punished for 5 years.
Yeah. That entire booth can be punished, not individual voters. Although that's bad enough. Frankly, punishing an entire booth is bad. All right, let me just come back to the entire audience. Lots of young people. First of all, let me do some unscientific snap polling. How many of you in this audience think NRI should be allowed to vote in Indian elections and should vote? Okay, it's still a minority. Let me ask you another interesting question. How many of you think that NRIs love India more than Indians in India do? Okay. Why is it a subjective question?
So why not? I love India more. I say that. Who goes and checks what I do behind the camera?
Okay, so you could be in India and you could be
doing so many
disloyal to India.
Yes, why not?
Yeah, that's also true.
If I suppose go to another country, I cannot lose my nationality. I'm still Indian by heart, so it should not be taken away from me.
Well, it's partly, but. Why?
The day the constitution was made, universal adult franchisee was rewarded to every Indian. And yet today, we misinterpret the voting day as a holiday. Indians don't go and vote. What is to guarantee that despite giving NRIs the right to vote, they'll go and vote?
But that's the fault of the person who doesn't go and vote. Okay, the lady there.
I'm not really sure about what should be the method of voting. But one thing which I feel is that since they're contributing to your economy, maybe Sir said that they're not paying the taxes. But their families are paying the taxes through the money that they are getting from those living outside the country.
Okay.
Sir, I don't think so. They should get the voting right. They will not elect the representative. They will vote for the party. And in this context, the ruling party will have the edge because they can advertise themselves better than the party
on
the other side.
That is such an interesting and such a good point. You don't know the candidate or the ground thing. It depends on who can advertise better in overseas. Let me get final thoughts from all of our panelists on that note. Anand Ahuja, point which is made is that there is one technical problem. When NRIs are voting, they may not know the exact details of the constituency that they are supposed to vote in, who the candidate is the person of good moral character, not moral character, has he done work on the ground, has he been building the roads, has he misused MLAD funds, all of those sort of decisions, only somebody who's living there would know that. And NRI voting would pretty much say, I want to vote for the BJP, or I want to vote for the Congress Party, or the Communists, or whoever it is. It'll be party, it'll be leader, it'll be based on those factors, not on actual ground conditions.
Isn't it that in India also, when by and large voters, they go and vote, they do not vote for a particular candidate, they vote for the leader of that particular party or for that particular party. They will vote for Jayalalitha, not for Jayalalitha's party, not for the candidate of a particular candidate. For BJP, they will look into, they are voting for Modi, doesn't matter who is contesting a MLA's election in a local constituency. So by and large, that's the political system in India where votes are cast based upon the political parties, not based upon the merits of an individual candidates. Otherwise, some very good candidates, intellectuals, they would have not lost elections in India. And for those who are concerned and are opposing voting rights for Indians living outside India, I would say only one thing. You are unnecessarily getting scared that Indians living outside India will probably carried away because of propaganda of a particular party, as if Indians living outside India, they don't have any intellect, they cannot understand what's going on in India. They will just carried away by the propaganda. That's a wrong assumption, and that's a wrong thinking on part of anybody who has that kind of thinking.
It's a question of being a democracy, a society of equals. That means that nobody has any extra privileges or rights than the other. So if you've got proxy voting, everybody gets proxy voting in this whole country. If you have absentee ballots, everybody gets that. Don't make exceptions. Democracy means no exceptions.
Okay. Same rules for everybody. Mr. Tandon, before I go to Rami Ranjan.
There is a broad national consensus among political parties for voting right for NRIs because the 2011 amendment to the Representation of People Act, which inserted Section 20A, allowing NRIs to vote, was passed unanimously. Today, the question is only what should be the methodology, whether we should continue the existing law, which allows them to vote but come to India, or adopt one of the three other options. The government now has adopted one option, which is proxy. It will go to the parliament. I think the parliament will finally decide which way to go. But I don't think any political party wants to go back withdrawing the right to vote for the NRIs.
All right. Rami Ranjan, let me get your thoughts on some of the issues that have just been discussed and thrown up here.
Vikram, I'm going to give you an Indian proverb which says, lock your door and don't call anyone a thief. Those people who think the election will be influenced from Punjab, from Canada, they should think of putting the right candidate. No candidate has the right to be standing for election who's anti-India. So you've got to do due diligence before you give seats to people. And the other thing, somebody said dual nationality open security issue. No terrorist is going to apply for dual nationality to come and bomb us. The terrorists are coming through different means. They don't care about their passport. They do all the things underhand, fictitious passport, fictitious identity. So therefore, I think we should not underestimate Indian democracy. We are very, very civilized. Since 1947, we never had a military coup or anything like that. We had democracy and we rejected it. You know, we should never, ever underestimate our civilization, the oldest civilization. And we have demonstrated that we can win with nonviolence. We have given the world inspiration. Our leaders have influenced the world. So right. I think we are broader people. We should really allow every Indian who loves India to, it's a broad church. By excluding people, we only score our own gold. Because anyone who wants to contribute, we should open the door. Please come, invest. We'll make it easier for you.
Thank you so much for joining us with that perspective. Mr. Ranjan makes an interesting point that it's not as if terrorists are necessarily waiting to get dual citizenship and all of that. You know, most of them just coming across from Pakistan through all sorts of other methods.
No, this terrorist argument is so way out there that I'm not even going to answer this. This is not the reason why we're talking about not giving NRIs votes. India has a vision of what its democracy should be. Our founding fathers had a vision where leaders are thrown up from the grassroots, where people decide on their own who are the best suited to lead them and so on. This does not sit well with somebody who has left the country, who has gone and sat outside for many years, and who's observing things from a distance. And as you can see on this show, totally convinced that they have all the answers for India, which the people back home probably don't have. I don't think this squares well with the concept of giving the vote to NRIs. In addition, there is the whole business of how you will maintain the secrecy of the ballot. I think this is a bad idea and should be dropped.
Hardeep Puri.
Strengthening democracy, yes. Giving the NRIs a sense of involvement, making them stakeholders, provided they are willing to assume more obligations for the country. In other words, they should also demonstrate that they have a stake here. I am completely uneasy with modalities which suggest adding another 30 million voters and those who have citizenships of other countries. We can't even identify them. There's a 1947 threshold. We do not know who was born where, to which parents. The names on passports don't mean anything. We all have the same names cutting across religious denominations. So I would say Cabinet has approved. It's a intent. It has to go to a larger consideration. And I have no doubt that Parliament, where sovereignty resides, will choose with great maturity, and that at the end of the day, the decision that will be taken will be the interest and strengthening of democracy.
Tehsin.
Nobody denies their right to vote, but their right to vote cannot come over our collective right to equality, which I explained in the beginning is a fundamental right. Point number two, I agree with Mr. Puri absolutely, that at the end of the day, if you want to enjoy the perks of voting here, you need to come here and contribute demonstrably. And if you want double citizenship, then there has to be double taxation. You cannot avoid one and have the other advantage.
All right. Final thoughts and final view on the show, of course, is with you, of course, Dr. Qureshi.
Free and fair elections is the basic structure of the Constitution. Several judgments of the Supreme Court say that the heart of the Constitution and anything that vitiates free and fair election is not acceptable. And second principle is equality. Here, if Mr. Rami Ranjan was to give 100 rupees to somebody, he will be held up by various acts and the model code of conduct. But what is happening in London, biryani and liquor parties in Canada and London and Kuwait, we have no control. We come down so heavily on model code of conduct here in India, but there is a different set of laws.
So the double standard argument to your mind is something which is major, that you can enforce a model code of conduct in India, but you can't necessarily do it abroad. So at the end of the day, what is it that you feel? Should it happen? Should it not happen?
No, as Mr. Puri said, it should be debated in Parliament, and with all the experience and wisdom, national interest should be above immediate political gains. Now, that should be the main argument.
National interest should come first. Okay, we've debated it on the big fight. Now let's debate it in Parliament and see what Parliament actually comes up with. It's an interesting subject. It's an interesting subject because it throws up so many questions of equality, questions of who is really the patriot and who is not the patriot and how should it happen and what the real roadmap forward should be. And I'm sure at the back of everyone's mind is also the question of how will the political benefits eventually fall out if some of these decisions are taken. You're watching The Big Fight. We'll be back next week. Bye for now.